Good? Good? You hear me? Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. The morning prayer, too, I appreciate that. There was a lot. I don't remember who was praying, but that's such a neat time. I'm grateful for that. That was an awesome experience for me, and I appreciated that. This was a tough one for me. So if it seems a little unique, this was a wrestling match for me. And but God is good. He's got a plan for it, right? It's not, nothing ever comes easy. So and I did have some wrestling even late, and I don't know if any of you are familiar. Am I good? Familiar with Paul Keith Davis. Okay. And I got a little help there in terms of bringing together some things I was just wrestling with the Lord. So I just want to acknowledge that obviously we need each other, don't we? And I'm grateful for that. So first, though, I know that there was a request that was made, and I just wanted to share something before we get started. An update. We had the chance to go as a family to Washington, D.C. I don't know, are any of you familiar with the, there was the Million Women gathering that happened in the mall? Okay. And so it was interesting. It came across my desk, and I saw it, and not normally something that maybe I would have gone to, but the Lord just highlighted it, and so we talked about it and just felt like the Lord had put kind of just a highlight on it of there's times, right, and seasons to stand, just be counted for him, right, for him. And so, you know, we put it out, and the schedule's cleared, and we all went calling from, you know, Southern California, Carina's in Texas, right? So we got to see everybody come together. And so I just wanted to give an update of just what happened there. It was a meeting intended to be about a million women was the intent, really, and behind just a call for the women and around kind of an Esther call. But there's something, I'll say we started at about 8, finished at about 7, but there's something about being on the ground. I don't know if you've experienced it in different things, different intercessory things, but there's something about, like, you know, we can engage through, you know, social media, you know, podcasts, different things like that. But there's something about being on the ground, and I felt like that was significant, you know, for us, and I was aware of it as soon as I got there, that there was something standing. I don't know if you've been to D.C. before, and I've been there, not necessarily in this context, but, you know, you've got a lot of history standing in front of us representing a lot of different things, especially in a very charged environment that we're all experiencing and what's happening. And I've been in the book of Jeremiah a lot this year. Go figure. That, you know, good. Somebody else that I hear. Thank you. It's a tough one, right? Well, you know, he's called, right, the weeping prophet, right? But I heard somebody say, I don't know if you've heard this before, that Jeremiah was a prophet that was invited into the heart of a weeping God, right? And that's what my experience is that, and was, in getting out there, I felt like it was one of those moments, one of my prayers going was, Lord, let it be authentic, right, what comes out of me, right? We can come be spectators at those events, see it, say it was great, but the significance is actually being there participating, right, because the heart cry was a shift, right, a shift in us, a shift in a lot of things that are happening in our country, in the body itself that just needs to shift as we come into a lot greater alignment, right, with the King and the One. And, right, that's what we're hungry for, right? That's where we're here. And so from the beginning, he just took me into that. I just, you know, it was very hard. I wore sunglasses, which was awesome. So it kind of helped conceal, you know, a lot of what the Lord was going on at doing. And there were a lot of personal things that happened for me that was part of the flow. I don't know if you've been involved with those types of things that go for a long time. My experience with those is stay engaged with the heart of the Lord, the heart of the Father from the beginning, and time flies by, right? Because you're in the flow of as he's moving. So I just wanted to highlight a few of the things that moved, but the overarching thing was just being undone, you know, the whole time, and allowing me to experience the authentic heart of God as we traveled through this journey of often these things usually start with repentance, right? And we can pray something of repentance, but there is a part of just allowing the Lord to connect you with authentic repentance, right? And then that is something that connects, you know, with what you're doing. And so it started with a lot of repentance around a lot of different areas. One of the ones I want to highlight that was awesome was there was a young man, two young men that got up on the stage at one point, and one was an African-American, one was white. And they had come to know each other, built a friendship, pursuing the Lord together. I hope I get all of this right. I didn't get a chance to go make sure I got it all right, but I wanted to bring this one up. And as they're chasing after stuff and chasing after just this, even this process of reconciliation as an African-American with a white and friends and just what this looks like, as they dove, the Lord led them through history, and it turns out that the father was actually the slave owner of the other friend's relative, that they were actually connected in history as slave owner and slave. And this beautiful picture unfolding, and even as they prayed and to get of just this reconciliation, right? There was a great cost coming out of that, right? What is it? 500,000 people died in the, is that right? In the Civil War, right? There was a great, but this beautiful thing now, these two, I think probably in their 20s maybe, right? Maybe 20, something like that, standing up on the stage just testifying, but also leading through this process of just, you know, restoration, and it was awesome. A period spent praying around Israel, and I wasn't expecting that, but that was one that was loaded and charged with just an anointing of the Lord. It was hard for me to pray as he just, an unspeakable just rending of my heart, but I'll say this, that the thing that for me that came out of it is, they are the apple of his eye. They are the treasure of his heart. It says it throughout his word, you know, we're grafted into this beautiful promise. You are the treasure of his heart, the apple of his eye. But there is something special about them, that just experiencing this incredible love and how he weeps over those that he loves so intensely and so immensely. And what a privilege it is for us to pray, to contend, to fight, to support, to love on those people, and seeing them come into the full promise of what God has called them to be. And then I'll hit through this. And then around the women, and so then it came time for the women. I believe it was a time where we had all taken our shoes off. Beautiful day, it was hot, you know, but or sunny, but it was not hot, and, you know, taking the shoes off, and there was, and I was aware that it was not my time, you know, to pray. I was there obviously for women, but the idea was to bring men and women, but the heart was really around the women and different ones sharing. But as this kind of progressed into this part about the women and the women standing, there was this flow of just, you've paid a price to come, and you've come because you're willing in a heart of surrender to see the purposes of God revealed in you, the women. And there was just, I mean, you're in the Mall of America with people walking by, right? People coming to sightsee, coming to look at things, with hundreds of thousands of people there. And so you've got this other stuff going on. And what an amazing thing to see the power of God and the anointing of God fall in that place. That is undoing in itself too, to be standing in front of the Capitol and all of the places that, you know, represent government and all that's going on, and in this place, the name of Jesus being, but this anointing being released. And it just undid me that there is something powerful about this season in time and history, that God has an anointing on the women to do something amazing and miraculous, to break things and loose things, right? To declare things and the things that are not as though they are. And I'm just saying from my experience that I know that I know that I know because that's what I experienced in just breaking my heart for you, the women, and those that are listening, that there is an amazing and a special call that is just for this time. And it obviously goes to that Esther thing, right? There's such a time as this for you, right? That you are here, and there's things. That only you can do. I believe that there's things that only you can do. And you see that. You've been given keys to unlock doors that I can't hold. You know, there's things that you do. So, it was awesome. It was so awesome. And it was awesome to have my kids there, awesome to have my daughters there as well. And, right, how many have seen that a lot of what God's doing right now is being triggered and moved by the young people? That we show up and we're hungry and there's this move, but when the young people say yes, right, they say yes and they step forward, God shows up in this incredible way, like Azusa Street and the Jesus movement, you know, haven't seen anything yet. I believe that. And one of the last things, and it was a thread that went through, was just the spirit of Ishtar was brought up a lot throughout it, right? The spirit behind sexual perversion, gender confusion, the things that are going on, attacking the identity of who we are and even the purity of who we are and the mandate. And a lot of history was brought up, and kind of behind that, it culminated even with an actual, I don't know how this happened, an actual stone altar was brought that was made for Ishtar, and it was smashed and broken right there in front of the White House, or the Capitol building. That was powerful. I'm excited to see what's going to come from that. We've already seen a few things. I don't want to get into all of them. A few things, even in the news or whatever, breaking of just seeing coming out of that time, praying, I think, as much as anything, just to encourage us, you know, that every word matters before the throne, right? Every word matters before the throne. He doesn't miss anything, but when we gather together and out of one mind and of one heart and unified in pursuit of what he is leading us into and his will and purpose, you know, things, you know, he shows up and he moves. One of the things I want to share as I want to finish up here, but I felt this was important, was are any of you familiar with Sadhu Sundar? India got incredible testimony. But so somebody got up and shared something where he had testified about something. And this was as we were getting ready to go and finish. The one thing I didn't say was that we were there on October 12th, which was the Day of Atonement. So, you know, we were all fasting as well during that period. And you know, the Lord was just preparing us to go and just felt like I needed to engage in that process. So we finished as the sun was going down, right, with taking communion. It was awesome. But one of the things that was brought up, so Sadhu had committed to just worship the Lord for 2 hours and just sing hymns before the Lord before 2 hours. And so he had started and was just worshiping the Lord, and the Lord opened his eyes to see two angels were there worshiping with him. And so they're worshiping, and every time the word came up, the blood of Jesus, they would fall down and prostrate themselves in worship of the Lord. And this would go on and on through the whole 2 hours, you know, as it's going. And then they finished. And so he asks the angels, he's like, why do you do this? You know, why do you do this? I don't want to miss this and get this right. And they said, all of heaven falls on their face at the mention of the blood. Only men on earth do not do this. Does that get us when we take communion? That the mention of his name, right? John, right, talks about, right, the revelation of the scroll and, you know, who's worthy to open it? Who's worthy? And it lingers long enough for John to weep, right? And to weep and to weep. He's broken. The weeping heart of God, right? May we all know what it means to be invited into the weeping heart of God. And then he says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. There is one, right? There's one who's worthy that can open the scroll, right? There is one who's worthy, right? He's risen. Our communion takes on new perspective. So there's one that we can add to our perspective as we take communion, that all of heaven, what is our posture when we hear that word spoken? Sometimes we need to be undone again by the price he paid for us, right? Sometimes we need to be undone. And Lord, may that continue. May we be a sensitive people continuing to be undone by what you've done. So anyway, that's my testimony. One of the beautiful things was to see as well a lot of streams brought together. I love that. I think in my lifetime, I don't know that I've seen as much as I've seen now of the unique facets of the body and parts of the body coming together with such honor and such love, such tenderness, such affirmation and encouragement for each other. There were so many people that would pop up on the stage representing ministries that I was aware of but would never have thought to be on the stage together representing different parts and different things. One's, you know, Bill Johnson showed up there. Carol was getting her luggage, and all of a sudden Bill comes walking out. So he did a small little part leading up to communion. We had the Jewish community there represented out of New York leading. It was just an awesome time. So I just come to share that God is moving and amazing things were happening, and I really believe that there is a free, and remember, he moves with few and not with many, right? So we were hoping for a million women and beyond. I think they figured they figured somewhere around maybe 300,000, something like that, 300,000 or something like that. But, you know, loaves and fishes, right? You know, he fed 5,000 with 5 and 2, and he fed 4,000 with 7 and a few, right? And less left over, and the diminishing of Gideon until there were less. He actually moves greater with less. So we really left with a lot of faith, a lot of just confidence of what God was doing and how he moved. And so I just want to share that and bring that testimony to you, and just honored, privileged that God would prick our heart, invite us to do it, and let us be a part of it. And so I'm excited about what God's doing, and he is moving. You know, college campuses, we're seeing so many kids filling stadiums and demanding baptism, and I had just some of the tent meetings going across the country and people responding. I know my sister is in Carolina, and amazing stuff is happening in North Carolina and the east part. And I know, I'll share this one really quick. She texted me yesterday. They're out there now working, and they're dealing with a lot of government opposition trying to help. There's a lot of willingness and ableness, but just the government resisting your ability to go. And understand, right, there's regulations they're responsible for. They're trying to honor it, but really seeing how much that stops just the flow and the move of me trying to help you, right? And so she texted me just saying, pray, you know, we're here, and the struggle. And the first thing that I got when I started praying is the Lord saying he's allowing it to happen. And you say, why? That doesn't make sense. And let me just explain it. He's allowing it to happen because he said, we have made the government our God. And when we are in trouble, we ask for him to help. And we look for him to help. And we're leaning into him to help. COVID, whatever we want to talk about, and we need help. And it's shifted to a place where we're in need, that it becomes a place of idolatry that the government has taken. And he's allowing them to be distinguished between the government there, but not able to help and not helping, and the frustration, but also seeing the body coming in and moving with unity. And some of them are just so amazingly organized, she shared, and just incredible how they're just able to rally a small group and say, here you go, and the organization that's there, and to be able to respond and help. So the prayer is really just, Lord, reveal what you've got to reveal, you know, and what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing and rending our hearts, and you know, the Baal, right? Elijah in the moment, right? Revealing our hearts and where we're looking to for our provision and our source, and realigning us back to the one, right? And so it's happening. So I'm excited. And that segues into what we've got here. There is a place of victory before the battle. I'm telling you, I rolled around with this. I couldn't understand how to connect this word from the Lord with what he was saying. So Lord, let's pray real quick before we start. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for opening the eyes of our heart, peeling back, Lord, what you need to peel back, that we can receive whatever it is you have for us. That, Lord, that there would be impartation today. That it's not word that we hear, but it's the meditation of your heart that we receive, Lord, into our heart. And that we don't want more words. We want to be transformed into the likeness of your Son. That's our cry, Jesus. That's our cry with whatever you want to do here this morning, Lord. That what you do here would continue the process of transforming us into the likeness of your Son. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Woohoo, that's one of my favorite words, just so you know. I'll give you a seat. Woohoo, I think it's, I had it written at one point, then I had gone away from it, but this is a woohoo moment, and so I'm excited about this. I'm going to share this story. Is anybody familiar? You know what? I didn't even write his name down. I did. Is anybody? This is a World War II. Audie Murphy. Anybody heard of him? Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, why do I even need to tell the story, right? Great. God's given me more time, right? So we know, right, he got a lot of attention, but what was amazing, right, is he's a 19-year-old kid, right? What, did he already have, I think, a couple of medals of stars? So anyway, he's, you know, he's confronted with all these, you know, 250 troops and a bunch of tanks, and, you know, he's supposed to hold a road, and he's a 19-year-old kid, you know? Amazing. Actually, if you go and look at a lot of history, there's some, I love to do that stuff, and, you know, you watch some of the real, you know, the accounts from people that survived, and just incredible, incredible. But anyway, the story with him is one of valor, right? One of courage, that he jumps into a tank that's burning, and, you know, single-handedly kind of holds off the German army as it advances. And I'm going to read one of the testimonies from one of his, as the rest, you know, he tells the rest to go into the trees, right, and take a position along the trees while he's out. And it says, Murphy's men were no doubt wondering the same thing, but they said, one of them said, it was the greatest display of guts and courage I've ever seen. One of the stunned, I don't understand, know his name, later wrote, for an hour he held off the enemy force single-handedly, fighting against impossible odds. Even after reaching safety, he refused to be evacuated from the field. He had taken a piece of shrapnel while he was out there and instead rallied his men in a counterattack that drove the enemy back into the woods. And so I just want to set the table with that as we go into, there is a place of victory before the battle, and the choice is yours. So I want to run through a handful of scriptures with this and just read them, because, you know, there's power in the word. So here, let's go to Joshua, if you have them. If not, I'll read Joshua 1. And just at the beginning there, I didn't bring my glasses, guys. I'm fighting that reality. And I'm fighting it. My forehead and my slanted eyes are giving evidence of my losing battle here. Okay, so right, Joshua's getting ready, right? He's been commissioned Joshua's just been commissioned. And we know this very well, right? You know, what is it in chapter 1? He says, be strong and of good courage over and over and over again, right? Like, why does he say it? We've got to hear, right? Be strong and of good courage, verse 6. Be strong and very courageous, verse 7. And then in verse 9, this is my command, be strong and courageous. So he's highlighting and highlighting and highlighting this to Joshua. And the thing I want to say to Grace, or the Lord wants to say to us, is Grace, be strong and of good courage. And I'm going to keep saying it over you because we're going to keep receiving it as he is going to be imparting that to us today. I was going to read this to you, but I skipped it. I am going to read. I'm going to start in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. And I want to skip over to Deuteronomy. We're going to go backwards, just the way we're building this. Deuteronomy 31, and it's up there as well. And this is Moses, and as he's commissioning Israel, as they're getting ready to go in. And it says, and then Moses called, this is in verse 7, and then Moses called for Joshua, and all Israel watched. He said to them, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors that he would give you. So Joshua is getting this constant reminding and washing of being strong and of good courage. You know what's an interesting thing in the journey of this is, you notice courage is never spoken about when in Ephesians when he talks about the armor of God. Like, I was looking for that again. Like, I want to go back again. Like, are you there's not an undergarment? You know, are you sure there's not something about courage that I get to put on? And then I went back there, right, to Galatians and the fruit of the Spirit, and there's nothing in there about courage and the fruit of the Spirit. So there's this interesting thing, and yet we're being admonished to have courage and have courage and have courage. And yet, I put on my armor, but it doesn't talk about courage. And I'm walking in the flow, right, grafted into the Lord and grafted into him, and the fruit of the Spirit is flowing through me. And yet, where is the courage one? Interesting, isn't it? All right, well, let's... I think he's got an answer, but it's a wrestling. It was really a wrestling, Lord, where does this all go? So the thing for Joshua is the need, and just there is a massive task in front of him. Like a massive task. Like, you know, we read it, sometimes probably the more we read it, we can diminish it, but the task was monumental, coming out of what they've come through, getting ready to cross over, and then this taking of the land and all that it involved and the length of time that it was going to take, right? The length of time to fulfill and apprehend the promise of God that he had given to them and that they had been walking in. And we know the story, right? They kind of accomplished but didn't fulfill, and the Gibeonites, they made treaty with them, and this whole, but there was this massive task. And it required an enduring courage that wouldn't waver or diminish as the battles raged on until victory had been won. So one of the pictures was just, well, I'm gonna sit there. But we have a wonderful and a spectacular mandate too, right? We have a, at times could seem like an impossible mandate, but with God, all things are possible. Grace, be strong and of good courage, right? So I want to hold that, we're going to hold that there, and I want to share something. So while this was going on, I had this dream, and I'm going to be looking at Lenora the whole time to see whether she's going to question whether I, yeah. So this dream, there's this part in the dream where we're building a fence, and it's a fence made of wood. It's the kind of thing like being out on a ranch kind of concept and building a farm. There's a young boy involved. He's being taught, you know, he gets to come out with the grown-ups, right, and to help, and he's being taught how to do what he's supposed to do, and he's kind of engaged but distracted, and, you know, things are going on. Not really the focus. The focus, the part that's important is just that the fence was wood. And so at one point, something happens in the process, and I step around the kind of the corner of the fence, and there in front of me are a few cows, and they're wrapped up in barbed wire, like wrapped up where you're stuck. You can't move, right? You're pinned, and they're alive. They're not dead, but they're stuck. And I find myself, as I'm looking at this, I'm rent a little bit. Not a little bit. I'm rent. And so I'm trying to get out the words as I'm talking to this boy. And it was, I didn't actually, I might want to go, well, I'm going to not go dig for it and find the words. But the words were, as I'm struggling to get them out, we have to do this right because they're counting on us. They're depending on us. And there was this like travail, this angst in me as I'm as I'm trying to say this, like the importance of what we're doing, and here is the fruit, the consequence of it. As I'm standing there, there's a group of cowboys sitting there eating their lunch. They're taking a break, and they're in the task of fixing all of this and dealing with these cows. And then as I'm standing, there's one behind me, and it's a dad. And I look back to look at him, and there in another pile of barbed wire is a boy, his son. And he's talking to the son, and he's looking at him, and he's like, "What are you doing? You know, I just got you out of it, and why did you go back in and start playing in there again?" And it's one where, I don't know if you've seen something caught in barbed wire. At one point, I thought of a picture, but they're not pretty. You know, they're wrapped up, and it's ugly, and it's this ugly thing. And the thing that the Lord was talking to me around it, or in relevance to this, is that that's our mandate. That's our mandate, is that, so barbed wire, right? One of the descriptions for barbed wire is that it's used as an obstacle in warfare, right? We go back, we talked about World War II to start, right? They would dig the trenches, and then they would line them, right, with barbed wire. So the advancement, and I don't know, maybe seen movies, right, where somebody gets stuck in the barbed wire, is that kind of, and it was interesting that that's an obstacle that the enemy would use, right? That he would use barbed wire. So here we've got cows, but I needed a scripture verse for this. Like, okay, Lord, I need to align with this, and so I'm gonna read this to you. It's out of Luke 14:5. How do you like this? If your son or your cow falls into the pit, don't you rush to get him out? Thank you, Lord, for sometimes making it so easy for us. He said the boy and the cow, right, as we're looking at it. I think it was important to see the symbolic nature that it's people that we're talking about. And the thing about removing the barbed wire, and as I was getting in the dream, is it's a painful process to get the barbed wire off. It is painful for them, and it is painful for us, because the cow is kicking and moving and doesn't understand what you're trying to do to help it. And so it's fighting you, and you're fighting to hold it down, but you can't control it. And in the process, barbed wire is flying everywhere, and you're getting cut, and you're getting lacerated, and you're getting in this process of love, right? As we look at the dream, it is the Father that is saying to us that they are waiting for us to extricate them from this condition, this situation, that the enemy has used the trench warfare of his system, right, to capture and put into bondage, even the ones with the young boy where they're even out, right? Do we know the ones where it's like you've labored and you've interceded and you've prayed and you've been beat up in the process of trying to get them to see the plans and the purposes of God that he has for them, and they just reject it. And then they get out for a season and they go right back in, right? Addiction, right, is something we can easily attest to, right? And the temptations of addiction and those things. And so I thought it was just critical. And yet the fence that we were building was wood. We were not building a barbed wire fence. There was an interesting paradox in what was going on there. So here is this dream. If your son, your cows fall into the pit, don't you rush in to get them out. All right, so we're going to go back then to Joshua 10:25. This is awesome. I'm going to flip to it real quick because there's a little more to it than what's listed up there. Okay, this is after now they've conquered Jericho, the situation with Jericho, AI, the failure with AI, then the conquering of AI, Joshua holding up his spear, right, till victory is won. The sun, you know, pauses to allow victory to come. So this is after this now. And they've made this treaty, right, with the Gibeonites, did not consult of the Lord, make this treaty with Gibeonites. Now the Gibeonites are there in the land. And right now these five kings have aligned themselves to come and actually fight against the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites say, "Are you coming?" And so we're like, "We've made a commitment. We're coming." So they come and they rout the Gibeonites, right? And Joshua holds up a spear, and you know the day is held, and they rout them. But the five kings take refuge inside the cave, right? And then Joshua commands them, "Cover the cave. Keep fighting. We'll come back," right? So he comes back. He comes to these five kings, right? And then we pick it up here, and it says, "And then Joshua said, remove the rocks covering the opening of the cave and bring the five kings to me. So they brought the five kings out of the cave, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. And when they brought them out, Joshua told the commanders of his army, "Come and put your feet on the king's necks." And they did as they were told. "Don't ever be afraid or discouraged," Joshua told his men. "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is going to do this to all of your enemies." I just wanted to focus on the difference and the distinction, right, of his admonition. And then we're gonna hold that there, and then we're going to pull that into kind of at the end. But I just want to get all these things out on the table of just where this is all being woven together for us. So what's interesting, right, is there's this thing about a prophetic statement and a declaration and an act of stepping on the kings, that something needed to be imparted to them as you're getting started in a long journey, that can we settle this once and for all? Can we settle this once and for all with you to be strong and courageous? Don't ever be afraid. That sounds great. That sounds great. But the reality is fear is a battle we have to deal with, right? We have to deal with. Okay, so we're going to go back. Remember, let's keep going. It's all going to come together. So Joshua is walking through prophetically and impartationally, saying, "Guys, we've got to get this. Step on their necks. See yourself in this place of victory, and don't allow fear or doubt to be in our thinking again." Like a DNA transfer. A DNA transfer. So it's not the armor of God, and it's not the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to go back to how it started, where I put up here that it's a choice, right? That it's a choice. We're going to keep covering that. Grace, be strong and courageous. People of grace, don't ever be afraid or discouraged. The Lord God is with you and goes before you. Yes, before you. And you know what was interesting too, is this tied into, as I was going through this, it's time for us to be courageous, to believe He is who He says He is, and for us to believe who He says we are. And I hear that, and what comes to mind is Steve McGarry's face right in front of me, wherever Steve is. I don't know where he went. Right? Steve just shared a message, right, a few weeks ago. I don't know how that, I'm still chewing on that one and talking about our identity, right, and embracing who we are, right? And to reject what he says is actually to be arrogant and proud, right, to believe that our opinion of ourselves is right. So I just love how that's folded into just that word, too, ruminating in us, is just everything the Lord asks us to do requires courage. It just does. So accept it and be courageous. It just does. Okay. So let's go back to Joshua 1. And in verse 8, and just this whole thing right here, of study the book of instruction, continually meditated on it day and night. We know that's talked about again, right, in Psalms, right, where David says, I think it's in Psalm 1, right? But his delight is in the law, the word of the Lord. And in his law, the word, does he meditate day and night? That's me adding, right? And you'll be like a tree, right? Tree, I don't think of being very fearful, right? Established, that verse talks about your resistance to stand in difficulty. Same, right, going into Jeremiah 17, being a tree that doesn't cease to yield fruit in drought, does not fear when the, you know, when there's difficulty, but continues to be fruitful and productive. Is the word the last thing you read and ponder before bed, and is it the first thing you read and consider in the morning? So, one of the keys for this victory, this courage, is the meditating on the word day and night. That there's something in the word that builds in us courage, that builds in us the courage to say yes, to respond in the midst of the battle. So he says, meditated on it day and night. I don't know what it's like for you, but I've been in this process, I've been trying to be more intentional about it, right? Of just reading in the morning, just getting in the Word, but also reading at night. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I've found with reading at night, I'm dreaming more. Right? Isn't that one of an interesting thing that as you set, and I'm sure, you know, ones can talk about waves and how your mind works and all that stuff as you sleep, but to set your mind to the Word of God before you go to sleep, even if sometimes it's just flip it open and I read a psalm, and then that's what I go to bed. I don't go to bed thinking about what I got to do tomorrow. I don't. And so there's a key for us. There's a power for us in this that Joshua is commanded to do it as one of the key things. Meditate on this. Know it, right? And there's a courage that is rooted in that place of foundation for us. And then it comes back generations later with David, and David saying, I meditated on it. It is the joy. So there's a moment here. Let's see how we're doing on time. All right, we're going to get here. I'm determined this time. I often have a hard time making it to the end, and I want to make sure we get to where we're going. So in this period there, I felt like there was an invitation for us for the Word. And I don't know what it's like for you, but sometimes the Word has been hard for me to read. Sometimes I read it and I've read it and it's the same thing and there's no life in it. I'm struggling, but I'm gonna get this, right? I'm gonna fight for this. I'm gonna do it. But sometimes I don't because it's hard. Sometimes the Word does not have the life that it's supposed to have for us, right? It's the Word of the Lord, right? That we live, that man shall not live by bread alone, right? It is our life, it is the Word, but sometimes it can be hard. So here's what I wanted to do, if you'll let me, is I just wanted to pray and release what I felt like the Lord had for us, a wonder and a love and an appetite to read and ponder and meditate the Word again and understand the deep things of God through His Word. And one of the things that was highlighted is reading the Word is mind, right? Meditating on the Word is heart. Thy Word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I ponder the Word. That is to read and to consider and to sit and to marinate. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get where I can't read very well because I read one verse and I get stuck on that because I'm just pondering it. Like, what was going on? What did this look like? You know, was David sitting over here when he said it? Was he actually in the tree? What did the bear do when it came out? You know, like, but it's the pondering. God loves that, right? As a father and his kids, that he loves the pondering. And that is where a lot of revelation has come for me. Sometimes it's just you're reading and you get a verse that jumps out to you and you go, that's my anchor, and I'm sinking into that because that's what's needed. But is that okay if I just, no, I don't want anybody to stand or raise or be uncomfortable, but just would you allow me to just be able to pray? I don't know where you are in that place. I know I always want an increase in that, but I feel like in this Word, there was pregnant within it the opportunity to be able to just release that. And so if we could just, wherever you are, just a posture of just receiving what He has. And so, Father, we just say yes. There's nothing we can do. We just say yes, Lord, that you, I just ask for everyone here, and me included, and anyone listens or that does listen, Lord, that you would awaken in us a fresh love and desire for your Word. A fresh awe, a fresh experience, a fresh understanding, a fresh journey and fellowship with you that goes so far beyond the reading of the Word, but it is a place of intimacy and fellowship relationally with you that, Lord, begins to feed and meet the deep longings of our heart. Lord, awaken in us a greater and a deeper love for your Word. That it is not a labor, it is not a burden. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. But you would stir in us and up in us again, Father. Stir in up in us again a love and a passion for your Word. In Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, amen. Okay. So four, we can go to the next one, Steve. Let's see, I think we got one more here. Then we'll pull it all together. Am I doing okay on time? Yeah, okay. We have one more. So four key points on courage that to help tie all this together. One, courage is a choice. Courage is the opposite of fear, not the absence of fear. We have a choice to choose courage or cowardice. And I want to take you to a scripture verse for this. It's written up here, Revelation 21, 7. So this is an awesome and sobering one. I'm gonna start a little before that because it's good. And he said to me, it is done. I am the A and the Z. I'm reading in the complete Jewish Bible, just so you know. I wanted to use this one in particular. I am the A and the Z, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I myself will give water free of charge from the fountain of life. Here we go. He who wins the victory will receive these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son and daughter. But as for the cowardly, the untrustworthy, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those involved with the occult and with drugs, idol worshipers and all liars, their destiny is the second death. So the part that I felt needed to be distinguished here is that, isn't it interesting that cowardice is put on that side of the ledger? It's not casual, it's put on that side of the ledger, which says, we have a choice. But I believe one of the things the Lord, we have a choice in the matter of whether we're going to choose courage or whether we're going to choose cowardice, whether we're going to choose to say yes or we're going to choose to run. It's getting better, I'm telling you, it's going to get better. There's a woo-hoo in this, okay? The next one is courage is contagious. Jonathan and his armor bearer. I don't know if I need to go read that one, right? We know that one, right? All of Israel's afraid, and Jonathan with his only one with weapons, and then you've got the armor bearer. This is incredible, right? An armor bearer with no weapon. Let's go check it out. Let's see if God's for us. Let's go kick the tire, poke the bear. Let's see what happens. Hey, you know, come up here. All right. You know, they defeat 20, and I always, see, again, ponder and meditate on the word. What was the armor bearer doing when that happened? Was he just running behind and Jonathan's leading the way? Like, incredible. But it says he picked up the sword, right? And he joined Jonathan in the victory. But the significant thing about that, and I'm not going to go there, is if you look at what happened, after that happened, there was a repercussion through all of the nation of Israel. It says that there was an earthquake. Right? It said that those in the hills that weren't even participating heard of what was going down and they came and rallied right to the battle. Right? The ones that were there but not fighting, what is the ruckus? They run and join them. There was this connection at all of these different levels that was activated as Jonathan and his armor bearer took this step of courage. Let's go kick the tires. The Lord encourages him. The Lord goes before you, right? We read that earlier in the scripture. Might need to go circle back around on that one. I think I skipped short of that and not reading that. One of those scriptures that says, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord goes before you, it says, right? So if we go back and read some of the ones that were up on that first slide, all that in Joshua, it says, and the Lord goes before you. And that's an important one for us to remember. Also, Paul is up here. I included Paul with just the shipwreck, where he continues to admonish them and how we're going to handle this and admonish them and admonish them. It says, and they took courage in the process of what was happening. This was during that time where everybody, they were going to die, and he's saying, no, we're not going to die. But it says, and they took courage from his posture, from his response. Courage is rewarding, taking a stand for the truth. 2 Samuel 23, this is David's mighty men, though, right? Jashobeam, these are the ones, Eleazar, I don't think I put in here, Shammah, Benaiah, right? David's mighty men, right? One jumps into the pit, right, with the lion and kills him with his bare hands. Shammah is the one, right, where they're being, you know, oppressed by the Philistines, and everybody begins to run when they come, and he's in the field, which is interesting, right? And it says, and he stops, and he took his stand in the midst of the lentils, right? And he fought, and he fought, and he fought, and he would not relent. He would not relinquish the land. He would not actually relinquish the harvest, right? Because they would come in and steal the harvest when it was ripe and take what they had worked for. There's a reward in it. There's a reward in being in the process with God and seeing him glorified in the process for us as we take courage, praying for somebody, seeing victory come, right? Seeing different things happen. I know we have difficulties and we have things that didn't always work the way we thought, but God is telling us, grace, us, be strong and of good courage. The Lord is with you and he goes before you. And it's important for us to know. We don't know why he wants to say that to us today. Why is that important for us to hear it today? But it was interesting because in the morning prayer, it was like every time I heard somebody say something, it was pointing to that. I thought of what you had shared, Rosalind, and how that ties into this. But we'll keep going here. I want to be sensitive to time. Courage is motivated by love. I put Audie Murphy up here because one of the things that he said is he said that fear was present, but he was driven by love for those that he was fighting with and his comrades, that he was driven by love, that there was this overriding thing that took us. But the easy one to write up here is Jesus. Gethsemane, right? Courage, 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 courage in the face of the invitation of love. And love, right? The motivation of love to walk in courage. That was one of the powerful things that I had when we were in D.C. was a fresh revelation of that and seeing him in a different way. And the word that he said was, it's real. As I was looking on this real thing to me and experiencing him in the moment, and he looked at me and he said, it's real. It's real. Thank God he's given us courage. He is giving us courage, and he's giving us a mandate for that. So I don't know, Steve, if we have time. Can we do this? I had something I wanted to be able to read over you, but are we able to cue that music up for a minute, and then we'll wrap it up? Down a little bit. So if you guys don't mind, same kind of thing. I just want to read this over you and just feel like it's part of just the hovering of God over us. And I'm reading it over me too. I'm in this with you. We're all in this together. I want this experience, this DNA to stepping right on the neck of the enemy and saying, don't ever, right? Don't ever shrink back. Don't ever. But I felt like there was this thing that the Lord gave to just read over us, to speak over us, to whisper over us, to just remind us. So I don't know, whatever you want to do, however you want to posture yourself for it, I just want to read this to you. And Lord, let us receive what you want to impart to us. You are my victorious one. I have raised you up for this time and this place for the ones who long to know me. So be strong and of good courage. Know I am with you and I am in you. Wherever you go, nothing will stand against you and no scheme of darkness will prevail against you. Make no room to think or believe in any other way. Go and believe, for if you don't go, who will go? If you don't speak it, who will speak it? If you don't declare it, who will declare it? Who will proclaim and enforce my victory in the earth? There are so many waiting and longing for you, my ones, to proclaim it, to release it, to enforce it. Remember, I've sent you to set the captives free, to bind up the broken hearts, proclaim and release my good news that the battle is won. My love is true and my blood is real. My name and my kingdom brings tension, the tension of one kingdom against another. Accept it, embrace it, and don't shrink back from it. For I have overcome the other kingdom and every other thing that would exalt itself against me or you. The lions will roar, but they will not harm you. You will tread on serpents of every kind, but they will not be able to bite you. You are my fearless ones. Release my love and enforce my victory wherever you tread. The battles are many and more than can count and are waiting for you. You are the enforcer of my victory. Say yes, I'm coming. And the victory of the King is at hand. This is what I've made and designed you for and strategically placed you where you can be the most effective with a harvest most ripe and ready around you. Say yes and go, for I am with you and have gone before you. It is time and all is ready. Amen. So I want to just finish with just Daniel 12:3, and it says, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever. That's a woohoo moment right now. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to that. The Lord, like Joshua, is saying, come and stand on the neck of the enemy today, and saying, don't ever be discouraged or afraid. So there's this prophetic thing that we're invited into, to step into that place and receive what he's like Joshua, right? There's much written of Joshua being a type and shadow of Jesus, right? How beautiful is that picture? That Joshua says, okay, I want you to come and I want you to stand on the neck of the enemy, and then I'm going to proclaim this. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever lack courage. Okay. So, can we go back to that first slide, Steve, and just to bring the finish this up, and then maybe we could just pray. Okay. I got this at 1 o'clock this morning, so I'm very excited to finally say this. There is a place of victory before the battle. The battle is won, belongs to the Lord. We know that, right? It's already won. So our place, the big V, the victory, is our courage. It's our yes. There is a place of victory before the battle, because the battle is won. It belongs to the Lord. So anything that we're confronted with, anything we're encountering, is ready for us to look at it through the lens of what he's saying. Grace, be strong and of good courage. I've gone before you. Do not shrink back. I need a trumpet. I need a pom-pom. I'm very excited. So I hope that blessed you, but I don't, if you want to stand, if you don't, I just want to pray as we finish up and you can stay seated. But Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you give us what we need and you give it to us in the moment, in the hour. And Lord, we live at a time with so much going on, so much adversity and so much tension. And you say to us, the field is ripe. It is ripe for us to step in, engage the battle, and force your victory. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for what you're saying to us in the hour. And we just say yes. Yes, Lord. And we do. We step, Lord, prophetically into that place to put our feet and see ourselves. That was the important thing, was to see ourselves, that we need to see ourselves in that place of stepping on the enemy and receiving your admonition to never be afraid, to be strong and of good courage, and be reminded that you go before us. And I thank you, Lord, that you do. You go before us, and we take courage and confidence in that, knowing that you have already gone before. You've already prepared the situation for us. You've already set up the battle for your victory to be enforced, and you invite us relationally into to listen. Do we march today? Do we yell today? Do we break the pot today? Do we release the torch? Or do we spit in the mud? Thank you, Jesus, that you're with us. You never leave us or forsake us, and that you're near and you're not far, and it is your desire. It is your desire to do this in us. We worship you and praise you, Lord. Rend our hearts where we need to be rent. Transform us, Lord, into the likeness of your Son, that as we leave, Lord, whatever you're speaking to each one of us, Lord, would it sear our hearts, penetrate, Lord, and may it be good seed planted that you say you water, Lord, that it would bring forth good fruit. In the name, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, amen.